This is the Afternoon Drive Podcast with Philip and Skip from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
Into hour four of your afternoon drive on News Talk 580 and 105.9 KMJ. My name is Philip Teresi. That's my partner, Skip Echeverria. She's usually the nice one. Actually, you've done pretty good today.
I just like to keep you on your toes.
A little terse in the beginning, but we've loosened things up nicely. And considering the subject matter, it's nothing short of a minor miracle.
And I wanted to tell Casey, he said, you know, can't wait for the next topic. Hopefully a little more uplifting than the last. Agreed, Casey. But we, in that whole discussion about Nazis, we never got to, you know, remember we had that like little ticker in the studio. We've since taken it down about the inappropriate use of the word Nazi or reference to Nazism.
Violations of Godwin's law.
Yeah, we could not wrap up this topic without the biggest story over the weekend of this jack wagon.
This is so spectacularly awful. It is bad taste. It may be the most egregious real world violation of Godwin's law since that psychopath started calling Fresno PD gendarmes for having tried to enforce code enforcement at the waffle shop. It is bananas.
And it's not even this person has seen some of this, I'm guessing, pop up overseas, and everybody went, ooh, bad form in the UK. And now she brought it to Tennessee, Nashville.
This is, God, this is stupid. Here's the thing. I understand the value of a joke in bad taste shared amongst close friends. And so I understand how social media has necessarily extended that and made people feel that it's acceptable to make jokes and comments in bad taste for the entire world to see and then to react with shock and horror when that's my personal Facebook page means you got fired for saying something racist. This is so far beyond that. This proves to me that nobody loves Gigi Gaskins. Nobody loves this woman. Because if anybody in her life loved her even the tiniest bit, they would have stopped her from posting a picture from inside her store, the Nashville-based Hatworks, wearing a yellow Star of David pinned to her blouse, bearing the words, not vaccinated. If anybody in her life loved her, they would have told her what a spectacularly horrible, stupid, inappropriate, awful thing this is, and they would have begged her not to commit social and career suicide by comparing a recommended vaccine to the abject treatment of the Jewish people by Nazi Germany.
Oh, well, I think to your point about no one loves her, I think that what we are seeing in one Gigi Gaskins is somebody who fell down the QAnon hole, because this is an anti-vaxxer QAnon wackadoo. She is a 60-year-old anti-vaxxer whose pages are filled with misinformation about vaccines, far-right propaganda, conspiracy theories, and has dug into that lifestyle or those choices leading up to this. And then not only did she post up the Star of David not vaccinated patch, which had been popping up overseas amongst similar types, she was selling them too, and had plans to offer them as trucker hats until the massive backlash that came on. Now, initially, she pushed back on the backlash, saying that people are so outraged by my post, but are you outraged with the tyranny the world is experiencing? Yada, yada, yada. I will delete your disgust and hope you put it where it belongs. And then all of a sudden, oh boy, wait a second. She tried to clarify.
Yeah, well, she started clarifying when people in a position to make it clear that the behavior was not acceptable started doing so in the most direct way possible. Posted on May 29, Stetson USA said, "We are aware of the situation in Nashville. We take the matter seriously and are investigating in order to take the necessary and appropriate next steps. Along with our distribution partners, Stetson condemns anti-Semitism and discrimination of any kind," which they followed up a little later in the day, saying, "As a result of the offensive content and opinions shared by Hatworks in Nashville, Stetson and our distribution partners will cease the sale of all Stetson products. We thank you for your continued support and patience." Maybe I'm crazy, but if I have any awareness of hats, Stetson's kind of a big deal. They do a little bit of everything. A lot of cowboy hats, right?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of gentlemen's hats. And I believe Stetson also, in their, what is it, 300-year history, have also made a ladies hat or two. Shortly after that, Gorin Brothers. Little smaller name. Little more, I don't know if bespoke would be the word, but a little more of a little fancier, a little boutiquier. Gorin Brothers is horrified by the display and selling of the Jewish badge by Hatworks, a store in Nashville, Tennessee, that sells some of our hats. The Jewish badge was a key element used by the Nazis beginning in 1939, who planned to persecute and eventually murder millions of Jews. They used the badge to humiliate, segregate, and control the movement of all Jews over 7 years old. To make a mockery of the Holocaust in any form is unacceptable and completely insensitive. We are looking at all options to fix and address this unfortunate circumstance. Signed, Ben Gorin.
So if you dig into Gigi Gaskin's information, and again, this I think speaks to what I was saying about people falling down this rabbit hole of crazy and then everybody around them backing away, and now here she finds herself. This is a woman who has really turned up the heat in her online presence in terms of pushing back against everything she sees as wrong, including, you know, the anti-vaxxer movement, the stolen election. She's paid for several billboards to share her news about the fact that she thinks that these things are happening. She's also, strangely enough, somebody who took $100,000 in PPP loans during the pandemic, but is also screaming about tyranny. And I think and cancel culture. She's very big on that this is all cancel culture and whatnot. And then to come out with something this egregious, and so now she can scream that she's being canceled.
So here we come back around to what canceling was and why the internet would do it. Because I agree that the cancel culture thing and everybody just knee-jerking and pointing their finger and zombie screaming a la Donald Sutherland at the end of Invasion of the Body Snatchers has been overdone. And it has robbed moral outrage of any of its sting, because every damn thing's a moral outrage. This woman's an idiot. What she did is disgusting to any decent thinking person. There is no defense that you can offer of this that would satisfy anybody with a shred of decency in their soul. She's going to be canceled by Stetson and by Gorin Brothers and by Kangol Headwear and by anybody else who believes that having their product in her store is a sign of even the slightest acceptance of such a grotesque and ignorant display. This woman has been canceled by herself because she's a moron and a bad person, and finally showed enough of that stupidity and myopic idiocy that the world said, you know what? No, we don't need to do business with you. She canceled herself.
And while I agree with that, what I think you're going to hear is, rather than a moment of being able to sit back and go, oh boy, I was in that echo chamber and too caught up in this. It'll be interesting to see if she manages to find her way onto interviews or whatnot, or if nobody's going to want to touch her, or if she's Nostradamus, because back on April 10th, she put up a billboard that said, cancel, cancel culture before it cancels us all. Hatworks, with the following caption. We have a new billboard. We contracted for this months ago, although it might be a celebratory political billboard, but no such luck. I could have put up some snarky Biden billboard, but didn't want to look at a picture of him for 2 months. So here's what we came up with. And this was a woman that was pushing that envelope, you know, sure. Cancel culture. And then she posts up this picture where she thinks she is just the cutest little thing with her $5 not vaccinated badge. And now all of a sudden is going to have to sit with it. So it's not cancel culture, it's accountability. But whether or not this is going to be a moment for some self-reflection or further victimization, that remains to be seen.
The kind of person who is expending personal resources, screaming and whining about cancel culture, who then posts a picture like this and acts as if they were somehow ignorant of the significance of the Star of David, is exactly the kind of person who is eventually going to get prosecuted for using PPP loans to put up billboards complaining about how unfair it is that they're getting PPP loans.
It's a strange, strange thing.
I hope she enjoys hell.
It's a new era in news talk, only on News Talk 580-1059 KMJ.
If you missed any part of the show, you can get the podcast at drivekmj.com, also kmjnow.com. It's waiting there for you. And at our website, you'll also find all of the information on where you can get vaccinated. As you know, in California, 12 and up now available for vaccinations for COVID-19. And there are links up for Fresno County residents and the entire Central Valley. No word yet on when the sub-12-year-olds are going to be allowed, but the 12 and up folks that got that first shot as soon as it was allowed are going in for the second jab coming up this week. We'll keep you posted. No extra tales yet on the children.
My understanding is that the Pfizer vaccine is now being tested for the youngest possible demographic, although they're talking about possibly starting at 2 rather than going all the way to infancy. God, I'm glad I don't have a kid that age right now. Made things real easy. Old enough to get the vaccine. Jab, jab, go. 490-5850. Let's talk to Joyce. Welcome to KMJ, Joyce.
Hi.
Hi.
I've been in and out of the car, so I haven't heard everything that's going on, but I need you to explain woke to me. W-O-K-E. I keep hearing it. I've looked it up. People I know don't know what it means. So tell me, Philip.
Well, so the definition, as it was when it started, when it really became a bit of the popular vernacular in regards to culture rather than the past tense of wake, in the sense of to break somebody out of sleep, was to be alert to injustice and racism in society. So that's what it was supposed to mean.
Doesn't stand for something.
Oh, no,
right?
It's not an acronym, right? No. And Philip, it actually... No, we'd have been sitting here figuring that out the whole time. It goes back even one step further because it was used in the Black community in terms of being aware of things like, you know, certain social rules or things that you had to have in place in order to, you know, not not end up in a situation where you could be, you know, arrested or in harm's way, or, you know, just trying to minimize any of those run-ins that might have ended poorly. So you wanted to raise your kids to be woke, to be understanding of the fact of, you know, how they might need to behave. The equivalent...
So woke is good. Is that right?
It started out that way.
It was, but what has happened is it has become... You've got these two branches of stupid. And one branch has turned woke into a gotcha game. So no matter what you say, no matter how well-intentioned you are, no matter how even-handed you are with your fellow man, somebody will say, oh, well, you committed a microaggression by referring to people as a plurality in the masculine, and that's gendered. Well, what the hell are you talking about? Humankind. It's not womankind. Settle down. So you have that, which is this, you know, woke gotcha or woker than thou. And then the other problem is it became a boogeyman where the guys like Tucker Carlson, I mean, let's just say it. Guys like Tucker Carlson have turned it into, if you're woke, you hate America and you hate white people and you hate Jesus, because woke isn't about equality or justice or anything like that. It's about stepping on the necks of what made America great, which is as much crap as the gotcha game that the lefties are playing.
Okay, I'm still not sure I exactly understand it, but thanks for explaining it anyway.
You know,
sure not use that word.
Joyce, I'm just going to give you an example of what it meant originally, and then you can take that as it's going farther. As a woman, at some point, my guess is someone either told you directly or you picked up that as women, we have to be a little safer walking to the car at night, right?
Right.
That's it. That in it of the, is an essence is as a woman, we understand that because we are women, and that's something that is either taught directly or you pick up, right? And so it was the same, but in with different circumstances, originally in the Black community, and then from there it went on to try and understand and work against racism. So hopefully that helped. But yeah, right now that word, I mean, they're going to move on to something else because it's just a hot mess.
Okay, well, thanks for explaining it to me, and maybe someday I'll get it.
Joyce, thank you for the call. It's I love hearing from her.
Oh, I think this is my first Joyce call, maybe.
Yeah, that's Charlie's mom, Joyce.
Oh, second. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, not to rub it in, Joyce, but like we did beat Charlie in Peele's Joyce.
Oh, no. Don't do that.
So pleasant. Can she be our show mom? I mean, I know you have a mom. I don't anymore. She can be our like show mom, our adoptive show mom.
I will let you arm wrestle Charlie for that one. That's
he gets her the morning y'all. And the rest of his life. We just get her in the afternoon.
Speaking of parenting, I love this story. Trooper Camden Nichols executed a traffic stop after seeing a young man speeding in the early part of May. As soon as he pulled the kid over, he observed the objective signs of intoxication. He asked the young man to step out of the car, took a breathalyzer test, and came to the conclusion that, yes, he was, in fact, too drunk to drive. They charged him with DUI. They called him a ride because Colorado does like we do here. And if it's just a simple misdemeanor DUI, they'll let somebody come pick you up instead of going to the trouble of processing you through jail. And so made the call. Somebody came and picked him up. They went and got the car in the morning. The young man is facing his consequences. And then Trooper Camden Nichols gets a letter.
Uh-oh. Is it like angry letter? How dare you?
Quote, when the officer requested him to step out of the car, he said that he detected alcohol and requested Jason take a breathalyzer test. Your officer, being cautious, took him in, leaving his car along the road. I want to say here that this is just what needed to happen from a parent's perspective. I was very pleased with that. My son knew he had done something wrong, so he did not make an issue. Trooper Camden says, I didn't expect to get a compliment on a DUI stop. But it makes you feel good. I take a lot of pride in hearing those words.
Yeah, Nichols has been with the department just about a year and a half. Third-generation law enforcement officer, so a couple of folks before him setting the stage. And I'd be the parent that wrote the thank you note. I mean, my kids better not do that nonsense. But I'd make my kids write a thank you note, too. Thank you for saving me from my bad decisions. I'm going to think about that now.
Thank you for taking me to the Fresno County Jail so I didn't have to look my mom in the eye for 8 hours.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
This is the Afternoon Drive Podcast with Philip and Skip from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
5:35, Philip and Skip, your Afternoon Drive. This is News Talk 580 and 105.9 KMJ. A little bit later this hour, if we have the time, we will talk about a couple new names added to the ever-expanding list of gubernatorial candidates as we hurtle towards what I am hopeful will be a successful recall of California Governor Gavin Newsom. Also, a solar company is refusing to let a dead woman out of her contract. You are not going to believe this. It's almost as unbelievable as the headline that I'm about to read to you. A woman has donated her kidney to her husband's ex-wife days after their wedding.
Well, that's a big gift.
Holy smokes. So, first of all, let's just get it out of the way because it's inevitably going to be part of the punchline when it turns up on the late night talk shows. Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
Of course.
10 years after their first date, Debbie Neal Strickland put on a cream-colored lace gown and married her longtime sweetheart at their Florida church. 2 days later, she put on a hospital gown and donated a kidney to Malin Mirth, her new husband's ex-wife.
Okay, so I think it's important to recognize that they had been divorced nearly 2 decades.
Yeah.
And that during that time, Maylene wasn't a jerk. She was able to co-parent and they raised their 2 kids together. And, you know, second wife came in. They were friendly at family gatherings. So it helped being a neutral co-parent. Not a dirtbag.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's all well and fine. She gave her new husband's ex-wife a kidney. She was thinking about the couple's daughter, so her now stepdaughter, preparing to give birth. Now, because the kids are all grown. I mean, this newly married couple is in their mid-60s. These are not children. So she's imagining her stepdaughter giving birth and her mom not being there. And so Debbie says, I just couldn't not try to change it. God told me you're a match and you need to do this.
Debbie also had the experience of watching her brother die of cystic fibrosis while he was awaiting a double lung transplant. She had offered one of her lungs but wasn't a match, and he needed two. Mm-hmm. So this is a woman who is just a walking, talking, breathing saint. And look, I'll be honest, just the cover story of to the ex-wife. But like, if you love your bonus kids, stepkids, whatever, like your own, and have been a part, I mean, what, you can't give them anything. You're not the one that gave them life, so you're not going to have that match. But to be able to give a part of you so that they can have, you know, biological grandma around, I mean, she better get a really good Mother's Day card.
Right?
That's some next level giving. It's one thing to be there for the kids you pop out. It's a whole nother thing to be there for the kids that aren't yours biologically on that level. She's a saint. Florida needs to make a statue of her.
You love your stepkids.
Mm-hmm.
If their mom needed a kidney, would you go get tested?
For them. For them.
For the kids.
Yeah.
For the kids.
Yeah. Because I've gone back and forth on this on... I've gone back and forth on this from the kidney transplant perspective, because my mom was a kidney transplant.
Yeah, of course.
She wouldn't let us get tested because she didn't want us to have that. And she ended up getting a donor, and we had like 10, 15 more years. But I've had these real struggle conversations with my husband and wanted to, like, what if I just allow myself, anybody, I don't care, because that's like the biggest gift you can give. And I mean, I made the decision because the kids are younger that if it's somebody I know, then I will have that like real big come to Jesus moment and conversation about it. But anonymously right now, that's not where we're at. But this is an actual conversation that we had earlier this year. I would do that for them.
No, I
better get the best Mother's Day card ever.
Yeah, I do not have any stepchildren, so I don't really have a comparable relationship to point to. My son would never forgive me if I gave up a kidney to save the life of his mother's new husband. Nobody likes him.
How much do they owe you?
$2,625.
Oh, they made a payment?
They've made a couple.
Ooh.
Yeah, for Mother's Day, because, you know, as she has been called from time to time, the Mother of the Year did not do a really fantastic job of staying up on payments in the first two quarters of the new year. And I had tried to communicate with her and her new husband about the need to resume paying on the child support arrears, and they were being a little reluctant. And so for Mother's Day, instead of a card, I sent her a link to the section of the Family and Criminal Code that describes the legal penalties for going more than a year without paying your child support.
Okay.
And then they started making their payments again.
Well, I mean, you know this cup that I carry all the time that Josh and... Josh and Joseph, and I'm assuming you are part of this, got. It says KMJ on it, says the nice one on it. You could get one made for her birthday that just says, like, deadbeat. Like a gift. But it's... Or just put it on the bottom. Because, like, my kids didn't realize it said skip on the bottom because I drink from the straw.
Sure.
But you could, like, give it, like... Happy birthday. And then it just says deadbeat on the bottom and see how long it takes for her to notice.
See, I have something even better than deadbeat.
Your son's love and admiration.
A functional relationship with our offspring. I can't say even better than that, but no, there's one more little piece, and it just delights me to no end, because she has been yoked with something even better than me subtly sneaking the word deadbeat onto the bottom of a coffee mug or something like that. She took her husband's name. And so when I speak to my ex-wife, I have the pleasure of addressing her always as Mrs. Gooch. Honest to God,
Caressy back
in the 21st century in the Western world, the fact that she chose to take the name Gooch, it delights me to no end to address her as Mrs. Gooch.
You know, in this day and age, you can make up your own last name. Like, she could have, like, taken her maiden name and his name and
I have
and
a cousin who did it.
Yeah,
my cousin chose a badass last name. Shit, Wilder.
Okay.
I think it's an awesome name.
Yeah, you just can pick them now.
Like I'm totally content with Teresi. It's just what I've had my whole life. I'm very proud of the family that I come from. But I could see especially as like a divorced woman, why you might just say, okay, I'm just going to get something new. Or go back to your maiden name if you've got like a cool maiden name, that kind of thing. And we talked about this when I was a kid, because my dad died when I was still legally a minor. I was 15 when my father died. And so there was very, very briefly a conversation about my stepfather legally adopting my younger brother and I, just like in case anything happened to mom, you know, keep everything structured. And we talked about it. And of course, with that comes, okay, but my dad's my dad, and like that's my family name, and these are the people that I come from, and I don't want to betray that. Also, my stepfather's last name is Collins. And boring. There was no earthly way I was going through high school in Clovis as Phil Collins.
Oh, that would have been so good, though.
But I would rather change the name of the show to the Phil Collins program than take the name Gooch.
Oh, that's fantastic. See, I tried to bargain to have my maiden name as my kids' middle names when they were born. I lost that. However, they are interested once they turn 18, because our name ends with us,
yeah,
because it's all girls, but it's like a 300-year-old name or something, and it ends with us. So maybe, fingers crossed, I told the kids, like, hey, if you want to do that when you're 18, like, I'll pay for it. You can just add it as a middle name.
Well, and I know of people who, when getting married, took on the wife's family name. You could always throw it back in that way. Find a young man who's woke and scared and in love enough to be like, you know, or maybe she'll, you know, like find a really wonderful, sweet, good guy who enjoyed some of his character development by having been saddled with a name like Gooch and just being desperate to be anything else.
Man, the Phil Collins show would have been so rad, though. I wouldn't have even needed second billing. It'd been the Phil Collins show and Skip.
We had several conversations about it, and I finally came to the conclusion that I could not, in good conscience, even consider the possibility, because I was 15 and I didn't have a sense of humor about me at 15. So being Phil Collins was not going to, that I was a little paranoid I was going to end up going bald.
Oh, okay.
Because my mother's father had male pattern baldness. Fortunately,
you look fine.
Fortunately for me, my little brother's the one who got that gene.
Now I just want to see you do that rad drum solo from In the Air Tonight.
Oh, my God.
Or maybe the Tarzan song. I don't know.
So congratulations to Jim. Jim Murth of Fort Lauderdale, Florida, for somehow finding an actual saint to get married to.